I'm back, sorry.
When someone becomes a candidate, I mean, I could theoretically, you know, go around and tell every single friend I have, well, three of them, that I'm going to run for mayor today, and that doesn't mean anything. Okay, so that's my question: is there a legal term for when one becomes a candidate? That's what I had originally when I saw all this.
So yes, there is. It has been the subject of much debate over the years. And that is the question. What does count as your official announcement? How formal does it have to be? In what, you know, medium does it have to take place? I don't have an answer to that question. That is the question that will be answered by the investigation.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Correct. It's their responsibility to answer that question. But we do need to know, to be aware of what was going on, and should be make sure that we're on top of. If there is a determination, that we know about it as soon as possible.
I was also told, so I've been in communication with Shannon, who's one of the lawyers, and Lindsay Leung, who's our liaison with the SEC for this cycle. And they informed me that it was not being raised at this month's meeting, that the investigation was still ongoing. And until the investigators had completed that process, that it would not be brought to the board. But that said, they did say that it was one of the top priorities of the investigative team, because they know that the Democracy Fund program really needs, you know, a conclusion to these matters.
So, Allie, just to be clear, that would mean that the Du Bois-Walton campaign is still legitimate campaign involved in the Democracy Fund.
Absolutely.
With all of the opportunities that come along with it.
Yes, as of this moment, all of the campaigns that have decided to participate are in compliance with SEC regulations.
Correct.
To further that, the issue that we had come up with before with the termination paperwork. They
can you rotate that?
I'm sorry?
Can you rotate that?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
So the question that had come up about the extra money last month, they submitted an addendum to their termination paperwork that explained where that 70 some odd thousand dollars went. And they also added additional information about that money to make sure that they were in compliance. So as far as the SEC is concerned, their exploratory committee has fulfilled their requirements, their filing requirement, and has terminated properly. And then what they did was they transferred the money into the campaign account, after which point they declared their interest in the Democracy Fund. And as a result of declaring their interest, that money was transferred to escrow. So as far as we're concerned and the state is concerned, they're in compliance as long as that money is not spent and there is an active plan for appropriate disbursement of those funds.
Allie, I have a question about the spreadsheet that you just showed.
Yeah.
I saw a column that had all red in it. I'm assuming that one red meant that they dispersed it. That column. Okay, the second to the end.
Can you enlarge that?
Sort of, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep.
So, okay, now maybe I can understand this a little bit better.
Okay.
So what happened then is that they put all of that red was going to escrow. Am I understanding that correctly?
So all of this money is money that they have attempted to return.
Okay. And they, now that confuses me again. Okay. When you say attempted.
So what they did was they calculated the total, and please, I would at this point, if it's okay with the chair, invite Will to explain if I get any of this information incorrectly. But my understanding is that they took the total amount of money that they raised during the exploratory phase. They subtracted what was spent, and that number was then divided by the total amount raised to get a percentage. A percentage of each contribution that they received, at that rate, is now being attempted to be returned to those who contributed.
All right. So
the money. Oh, go ahead, Bill. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm looking at the first one. The address is 62 Henry Street.
Okay.
Okay. So the prorated portion of that contribution was $44 and change, $44.52.
Right.
Okay. And as of whenever this was, yesterday or the 22nd, they have not been able to return that money. Is that correct?
That I don't think is a correct interpretation. My understanding is that they are in the process of returning these funds. They are making every effort to return these funds. I'm sure that there are some of these that have gone through. There are some of these who have, a variety of situations has occurred in terms of people receiving those funds, cashing the checks that the campaign wrote to them, we're getting back the credit card refunds through the online portal and all of that. And we really won't know the item by item details of that until their July 10th filing, which is compliant.
Okay. Is this the only page? Cause that
totally... No, it's not the only page. This was my, this is a segment of it. It is quite long.
I pulled
out a page to show number one that it had been received by the town clerk and the date and time, which was important. And then also that they are actively keeping track of the correct amounts that they are returning and making. This paperwork shows that they are making efforts to maintain full compliance.
Correct.
Okay. Because I was just looking at the total 69,000 and change. And I said, all those numbers don't add up to that. That's why I was assuming that there's another page.
Right. No, there's definitely more pages. If you look at the last names, I think this is just T to the end. So there is, there are four or five additional pages. Okay. There were many contributions.
Very good.
I will allow Will to say something if he wants to say something. You don't have to, but if you want to.
Yeah, I'll just fill in briefly that, every donation, every contribution that came through our electronic processing system has been returned. It's done. As far as that was the vast, vast majority. I think checks and cash, to the extent that there were any, it was a very, very small group. And we've had a lot of success returning those. I don't think that there are any outstanding, but I can't say for sure that every check has been deposited.
Okay. Right. And we're not expecting full information and clarity on that until their July 10th filing. That is their deadline with the SEC and with the city clerk's office. And so that is their deadline with us.
And the important thing, I think, is that they're not spending it as part of the candidate.
Yeah, they're making a very good faith effort.
A good faith effort to return the money.
Yes.
And just for an informational piece, I got a, I was the the deputy treasurer for a bunch of campaigns in 2018. And in a letter dated July or June 8th of this month, of which I received, I believe, on Saturday, they're still, the SEC is still making suggestions and so on and so forth. So they don't work in any manner of a fast form. That's my point on that one.
Yeah. Oh, the SEC you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Jim.
I think that that is important to take into consideration, because there is a difference between having somebody submit a complaint and a complaint having a resolution. And sometimes that can be a very, very long period of time. And so we're going to have to, as a board, you guys are going to have to make decisions about, like, about giving out the grants today, for example, specifically, without a resolution to those things.
Right.
The second part of your correspondence piece from Sergio is about what actually constitutes a written complaint.
And explain a little bit why this came up, Ali. This is the other campaign's issue, right?
Yes. So I received an email from another candidate complaining about. And this time the Yellowker campaign was the subject of the complaint. But I asked them to submit their complaint formally in writing as per our guidelines. And I wanted to get a sense from the board whether or not them just sending me an email qualified enough as them having presented a complaint, at which point I will... And if you vote that way, I will then present that complaint to you. If not, then I'm still waiting on a formal submission.
Allison, a basic question.
Yes.
With the city hall being closed, and what is the mechanism by which you would receive a complaint other than email?
So the difference is... the complaint was laid out through a dialogue, a back and forth email chain, not as an official letter or not with an official, specific piece of the ordinance that is being challenged or, you know, something to that effect. So it's, how much in writing do we need in order for a complaint, to move forward to the board and to be considered officially filed. And keep in mind that, you know, if someone Facebook messaged our Democracy Fund group page and just said something bad about someone else, does that constitute a complaint that we need to investigate? So there's a wide variety of communications. And what my understanding was and what I would prefer is a formal written letter with a, you know, explaining who this is from, who this is addressed to, what the complaint is, and any supporting documentation. And that's not what I have at present. And that, and those requirements are outlined in writing in our regulations. Correct. As well.
Yeah. And we asked, and in fact, we asked one of the campaigns already to submit a letter.
Right. I had received a phone call, for example, a month ago or so, with a complaint, and we didn't take up that issue until it was submitted in writing. And then that Correct. Point became entirely moot. So we didn't need to formally address it.
Correct. But we did request that it be put in writing and in a letter.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, for me, on my end, I think we should do the same with this other campaign.
Okay.
You should follow the same process.
Okay.
I think, Sergio, given the circumstances of the lack of a city open city hall. I might disagree with you on that one.
How did we get the last one, Allie?
So the last one, we didn't consider an official complaint until an email with that sole topic and an attached complaint document was delivered to me electronically.
And that would, I would ask it to be done the same way.
Okay.
Right. And did you ask whoever this other complaint was by to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
And as of this moment, they have not.
As of this moment, they have not submitted a fully written complaint with their supporting evidence and their claim laid out in writing.
Okay.
So that, for the moment, since City Hall is not open, I would say Jim, you can chime in on this. That should be a process that we should currently use for any of the campaigns that may have a complaint regarding one of the other campaigns, until such time as City Hall officially opens up and a letter can be mailed to the Democracy Fund.
Right.
Allison, what I might suggest is that, given the current situation, that an amendment to our process, you know, I don't think we anticipated this when we were approving the forms last fall or early in the year, I should say. But some amendment to everyone who has decided to participate, indicating that if they do have a squawk, that they have to submit it to you in writing in the form that you just described.
I think that that's something that we could definitely discuss adding to the candidate contract about, you know, what our formal complaint process.
Why don't you just go ahead and do that, add it, and then we'll take it up at the next meeting and vote on it.
Okay, to vote on it. Okay. I will add to the candidate contract, and then we can add that as a parameter for the general if folks sign on to use the fund in the general election.
Very good. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. That, I think that definitely works for now. Longer term, I talked to James Bahandari Alexander, one of our board members who's heading up the subcommittee on the ordinance review, and asked him whether or not he knew of any other official complaint processes that we should incorporate the best practices of, or if they're, you know, and I can also, you know, reach out and see how other boards in the city do it, and do a little bit more investigative work on this if you guys would like for me to do so.
Well, additional research always works, I think. So if you want to do a little bit more, that's fine. I think that makes some sense to me. I don't know about you, Jim, but that makes some sense to do any additional research, see what other commissions and boards are doing to handle their complaints.
Yes. Another simple question. Does the Democracy Fund have a specific mailing address?
Yeah.
So in other words, if I write a letter to, 200 Orange Street, a Democracy Fund, will you get that? And when?
Yes, I will get that. Yes. That will go to the finance department and they will forward that to me.
But what's the time frame? Is it like a week, 2 weeks, 2 days?
From the receipt of that letter, I would anticipate potentially a 24-hour window of acceptable informant.
Okay.
It has not happened yet. We don't get a lot of mail. I can definitely, talk to the folks in finance and see, but that is the address that is on our website. That is the address that's on our complaint forms, on our documentation. That is our address.
Okay.
The 200 Orange Street. Okay. Anything else? Anybody have any other questions on that?
No, right now it's just me and Jim. I don't see Aaron on you. Is Aaron here or not?
He's been popping in and out. I don't know if he's having kind of.
We need him to vote on a couple of disbursement.
I know.
So text him or something while you're talking with us.
I will.
So while we're waiting, and so you want to do start your little report?
Sure.
You already talked about the State Election Commission.
Sure. So
we already covered that.
A little bit. The State Elections Enforcement Commission basically gave me some additional information about their like investigative process, if you guys want to hear that. And sort of like the potential outcomes that could happen from any complaint that's filed with them. And I know that that Sergio and I sort of discussed what the response from the Democracy Fund team would be in those instances. So I'm happy to, you know, go over that briefly, Jim, if you'd like for me to do so.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
So there's two basic sides of the argument. Yes, you've done something wrong, or no, you haven't done anything wrong and we're dropping the complaint. If it's the latter, if it's no, you haven't done anything wrong, then you have maintained compliance as far as the Democracy Fund is concerned, and you are a compliance participating candidate with full rights and benefits thereof. If you have done something wrong, there are two things that it can be: rectifiable and not rectifiable. If it's something where you're out of compliance, but you could come back into compliance if only you file X form, or if only you return X check, then once you are back in that state of compliance with the SEC, as far as the board is concerned, you don't have an SEC issue with us. You're not out of compliance, and therefore you have the rights and benefits of a participating candidate. The rub comes in when it is a situation where you have done something you shouldn't have done, and you are assessed with a punishment from the SEC. And that, you know, can be lots of different things. Most commonly, it's a fine. Sometimes you need, to give money back to the SEC that you've raised questionably, or make a public apology, or, you know, they'll come up with a number of different ways that you are going to be punished for those actions. And if that is the case, you would therefore no longer be in compliance with the fund, and you would have to forfeit any monies that were given to you. So the question that I had for the SEC and for Shannon in particular, who's the legal representative there, was, you know, which outcome, if there is a problem after this complaint is filed and investigated and a problem is found, is this a rectifiable problem? Can the campaign do something to still maintain their compliance? And the answer is from them was yes. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I think they would accept an apology and a, you know, mea culpa, we won't do it again response. And so if that was what it took for them to come back into compliance, as long as the SEC considered them a compliant campaign, I would recommend that we still allow them to be a participating candidate in the fund.
All right. Ali, with the question that you were, or what you were just reporting, I have maybe it's a fundamental question, but okay. What if we were, all right, so as of now, you know, from what you had said earlier, everything appears to be hunky-dory, But what if the SEEC, SEEC, excuse me, you know, found some non-rectifiable problem, and they said that XYZ amount of monies had to be returned. And I'm assuming that the campaigns would have spent whatever money they had. So how on earth do they go about returning money at that point?
Right.
And I don't know if it's remotely possible.
So there are a couple things that you guys could decide to do. The first of which is you could decide that they have to return the funds that they've gotten this year. The second is that, and they're not eligible for any more, and they cannot participate in the fund going forward, right? The second option is, okay, you're not going to be able to receive funds from here on out. For the remainder of this campaign, you will not receive any matching funds whatsoever from us. If you won't receive grant money from us in this cycle. And then the third, which is what we ended up doing with Cindy Adekiyata-Zulu after he had his problems in 2013, when he ran in 2015, we told him because he had an outstanding issue with the SEC that he was not an eligible participant. And Aaron is back if you want to do the voting as long as he has audio on.
Aaron. Hello, Aaron.
Really hoping he's here. Okay. Aaron, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Perfect. Sergio, do you want to move on to the grant disbursement?
You're muted, Sergio.
I'm sorry. Yes, I want to move on, a motion to move on voting on the grant disbursement approval for $20,000 to the Electorate for Mayor campaign and $20,000 to the Karen Du Bois-Walton 2021 campaign. You're going to get a motion? Hey, Jim, or you can get either one of you can make a motion.
Again, I have a question on this.
Okay.
Well, make the motion and then we'll discuss it.
But I don't know if I want to make that motion yet.
We can discuss it. It's not voted on. We can discuss it, Jim, once you make the motion.
All right. So I'll make a motion that item B on the administrator's report be approved. Thank you. Be approved.
Thanks. All right. Now, any discussion?
Okay. Allison?
Yes.
At one point or another, I had a question as to when the funds would be distributable.
Right.
That's a word. I thought you answered, one of your answers was that at which point they became a candidate with ballot access. And so that's my question. As of now, I don't believe anybody has ballot access.
Correct. So that's not the measure for the primary. For the primary, we have traditionally done it right before or a couple weeks before the July 1st financial deadline so that they can include it in their July 15th filings. For the general election, you cannot have a grant dispersed to you until you have ballot access. And that is a different situation because, number one, you would not be eligible for that grant until the primary is complete, at which point at least one person would absolutely have ballot access. And that is after the date with which you would need to file with the city clerk to be a candidate on the ballot who was not registered under any particular party. So for the general election, ballot access is not a very big hurdle. For the primary, it is the hurdle.
Okay. I'm assuming that all of the known candidates at this point would get ballot access either by the town committee meeting or by their signatures.
So that is not an assumption I would recommend, because that is exactly why party nominations matter to these campaigns that are participating in the primary. Ballot access is not necessarily the easiest thing to get. You have to collect signatures or you have to be nominated by a party. And there is no guarantee, regardless of how well-funded or, you know, successful you think a campaign is, that they will be able to achieve that mark. It is something that has to happen within a set time frame. And so, for example, in the Democratic primary, which is specifically the race that we are working on now, the nomination won't be until the end of July, at which point you will start the clock on 2 weeks, if not a little bit less, to collect over 1,500 signatures. That is a very big bar to participation.
Okay, so here's my fundamental question then. So suppose XYZ does not get the endorsement and they do not get the 1,500 signatures or whatever it is. Okay. Right. So we've still given them the 20 grand, even though they don't have ballot access.
Yes.
I think I would be opposed to that. I mean, I'm not.
Okay. So the ballot access question, the way that it's sort of used, the thing that it's meant to prevent, let's put it that way, is someone who is operating completely out of the system as a write-in candidate who happens to raise enough money to theoretically qualify for the fund and then take public dollars, but isn't actually an official candidate on any documentation. So there's no race that they are registered as running for at that point. And it's also to prevent, you know, things like people who decide that they are saying that they're going to run and they raise the money and then they decide, you know, 2 weeks before the election to drop out. Okay, well, we're not giving you any additional money because you no longer have ballot access, or you have decided not to acquire ballot access. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to ask for the money back.
Aside from that, they've met the requirement, the candidate requirement for this particular disbursement.
Right.
They've met the financial requirements for this disbursement of money. They've met the number of folks. They've met the number of donations. They've done it within the context of the ordinance and the law. I mean, this is not. I don't think it's something that we can deny them.
No, I'm not suggesting that either. But maybe this points out that perhaps going forward from this year, that we say that, you know, if you are in compliance, as Sergio just said, on July 1st of that particular year, that's when this fund will be distributed. Okay. Because I mean, you know, theoretically somebody could say, well, why wasn't that on May 1st, June 1st, July 1st, and so, or so on. So that may be just something that we have to tidy up on.
So I definitely think that that's worth consideration for this particular year. I just would prefer, and I think in terms of, you know, transparency of financial documentation, having the grant be on their July 15th report, on their July 1st report, enables the most people to see that they have gotten that grant and to then track how that money was spent. Otherwise, you wouldn't see that money on their paperwork until the 7-day preceding filing, right. Which isn't until September. And so you would have 2 months of not really knowing, the financial situation.
Correct. But I think you know, along with, and we're going to go into the ordinance review, you know, rather soon, but along with the ordinance review, that you know, these kind of questions that do come up are the kinds of things that we do need to look at, Jim. I think you're, you know, correct with that. And we do need to have a clear picture and understanding of the process, since there have been lots of questions about it this year. But for the moment, we're faced with the disbursement of these two grants for these two campaigns that have qualified both through donations and through the number of people they needed to have from New Haven to qualify, and the initial amount of money to disperse this money to them. That's my feeling.
And Allison, just to double check, I'm going through my emails that I got from you here as we're speaking. Did we get a other than what you just showed us with the escrow fund report, did we get a report on the, I don't see it. Maybe I just can't find it here at the moment.
Okay.
But did we get a report from both campaigns showing that they got the $5,000 and the 200 signatures, or?
Yes. So those were both presented at previous meetings. One of them was presented in April and one of them was presented in May, Elliker and then Du Bois Walton respectively. We went over those filings in depth. You definitely should have them in your email.
You should have those.
Will have the lists of all individuals that contributed to the campaign, the amounts they contributed, how they contributed, whether or not they were registered voters in the voter file, how much was matchable, how much was matched, and how much they have left to donate, how much qualifying funds they have left to donate.
Okay. That, and again, because of the situation I explained to you with the student I had in school, I was not able to get on for that May meeting. So
that's all right. Things happen.
Yeah. So again, I apologize for that one, but that was just a question that, and apparently I just didn't open that up or find it.
So I can pull that up and I'm happy to resend that to you. So this is the matching funds request that we did for the Karen Du Bois Walton campaign. It's on your screen now.
And in fact, Allie had some questions about some of the matching funds, correct, Allie? Were there questions on that one?
Were questions on a couple of those.
That were resolved?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then here is the second one. This is the audit for the Elliker filing that they put in April, and all of the contributions that they received. Again, every single one that has any kind of questionable anything has a note, including how much additional money they might have that's matchable. And, you know, notes about their registration. Anything that shows whether or not they were registered or not. Down here at the bottom, I've lumped, the folks that, weren't actually in the registry. We requested that, if they wanted those funds matched, they had to actually register to vote and all of that. And then, some of these are zero because, this person in particular, for example, had already maxed out their matchable contribution, right? So we've got, notes on every single individual contribution for every transaction of contributions that the campaign received. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much. And again, I just didn't see the other one. So that may be my, I didn't find it, but if you could send them, that would be fine.
Okay. And then, you know, for these folks who did qualify, you know, I'm keeping track of the total amount that they've donated that we have matched. So if, for example, this person who we only matched $10 of came back, you know, in their next request and had donated another $20, and, you know, we could then match the remaining 40. So that is part of the audit work that I do for subsequent filings, is comparing the list that they're about to give me to these lists that they already have given me and what we gave them, so we don't overgive or undergive.
Okay, you said, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we lost Aaron.
No, Aaron should be here.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm traveling in New Jersey, and there's a lot of trees here and not a lot of cell phone towers.
So. I got you. All right, let's send this in. Can we vote on this item so we get it out of the way? So in case you don't have a question or anything, pull over or something? All right, so all those in favor of dispersing these two grants to their respective campaigns, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Any abstentions? The motion carries. Okay. Thank you. On the ordinance review subcommittee, I did have a chance to speak with James today, and I'm in agreement with some of his thoughts, which is really, this is, and I said this earlier as well, this is really an ongoing process, and we're not going to really resolve this ordinance review during this campaign season, I think, because we need to focus in on making sure that all this is done correctly and appropriately. So it will be a work in progress. But James is working, I think, diligently with Allie, and has reached out, to, I believe, to other members to ask for information and questions and advice. As it stands at this moment, it's still kind of a work that we're working on. But we do, I think all of us agree that there's a lot more clarity that needs to happen within the context of the ordinance. Any questions, any comments? Jim?
No, I'm in full agreement with that.
Aaron, anything? I know I don't want to take too much of your driving time. Okay, I'm not hearing anything from Aaron. I'm going to say move on to other municipal election updates.
Okay. So at this time, everyone is in compliance. Everyone is actively running for office still. We still have one undeclared exploratory committee. So I don't know whether or not they're going to decide to run or not.
What is happening with the other two campaigns?
Okay. So Elena Gruhl has not declared her official candidacy yet. We've definitely met. We've done our training. The Macy Torres campaign has declared, they indicated their intent to participate in the fund. They signed the official paperwork. They have not officially withdrawn from participation in the fund, but they also have not yet met the requirements to receive matching funds or the grant. Should that happen, should they end up filing with us, you know, they're still eligible for full award for either the primary or the general, so long as they meet the minimum requirements.
Any questions about the other municipal elections? Well, any new business?
I would like to just add under new business that I, in talking with James about the ordinance review, he indicated that it might be helpful to have an additional assistance. And so I reached out to some of the local law schools and asked whether or not there would be folks who needed, you know, some sort of extracurricular activity next winter, not this year, not, you know, not before the election happens, but like next winter, maybe some law students who wanted to help us take a stab at this, work with James directly, learn about the process of how the ordinance, you know, would be reviewed, would be voted on by the city, so on and so forth. So if anyone has any candidates in mind for a internship, supposedly, or if you, you know, if you guys want to discuss whether or not this is something you want to publicly put out and perhaps provide a stipend for a period of time, you know, that would be something that I think is worth discussion.
Well, I think I'd like to go the intern route first and see if there's, I mean, I do have a couple of folks at Yale that I can speak with. I don't know if anybody has anybody at Quinnipiac that they know that they can talk to see. But I think I'd like to go that route initially. Also, I wanted some confirmation on the budget. I believe we're still in it.
Yes.
Okay. So we're good. Okay. So yes, I think for the moment I'd like to do an intern thing. Jim, what do you think?
I would be much in favor of that.
Is Aaron still on, or did we lose him? Looks like we lost him.
Thank you. Gone. But so the question that maybe, you know, we could discuss, because we do certainly have time to come up with, you know, a description of the role, but, you know, whether or not it would be a role that's compensated, or whether or not we could work with, you know, if it was a student of any particular institution who wanted to get some kind of credit for it, something that was needed as a community service credit or an internship credit,
kind of situation,
what we would need to do to make it worth their while to help us out and participate and engage in the conversation, and, you know, learn and also, you know, teach us what they know.
Well, I think we'd be open to that discussion.
Okay.
I certainly would.
Yeah. So,
Allison, I don't know if this is technically new business or not, but as of the moment, could you give us an update as to the balance in whatever funds we have?
Sure. So that is going to be a little bit tricky, because the new budget year is going to begin very shortly, after which point I will get a notification of two main items. The first is the deposit of any monies that were awarded to us by the Board of Alders, which should total $200,000 even. The second is the closing of the CD that we had opened at TD Ameribank or TD Bank, and the interest that is going to come from that CD. That said, with these two expenditures that we voted on tonight, which total $40,000, we have given out $33,000 and some change as well. So we've given out about $73,000 so far this year. So $23,716 to the Elicker campaign, $10,786 to the Karen Du Bois Walton campaign, and now both of them have been approved to receive their grants.
So those were matching donations?
Yes. Yeah, so this was the total amount that we provided in matching funds here. Got and it. Here.
Got it. Okay.
And okay. We're in no, I don't know how quick the city, you know, if the budget is approved on, or I guess it was approved. But Sergio, maybe you know this. Do you have any clue as to July 1st is a Thursday. So do we get the money on a Thursday, or what I'm worried about is, are we in any danger whatsoever of running out here?
No,
I don't think we are. No,
no, we are not.
I don't believe we are.
again, as I indicated to Allison, I believe that the other party might be going to present a candidate. And so, you know, that would be my worry on that.
Which other party, Jim?
The other party that's guaranteed ballot access.
Is that Working Families or?
I don't know. It'll be the first time almost in my memory that they might be going to do so.
Okay. Explicitly, you're referring to the Republican Party?
Well, I'll say that the other major party in the state that's not connected with the candidates that we've just approved disbursements.
Yeah,
okay.
I think even with that, we would probably have it. We'd be fine.
Okay. That would be their luck. Just you know, to get safe. Sorry, there's no more dinero left.
Yeah. No, I don't foresee that being an issue.
An issue. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it'll be fine. But that's it's interesting news. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else on this? Because if not, we can move to adjourn this meeting. Ali, have we done the business we need to do?
No, but just for clarity's sake, Jim, do you know if that potential other candidate would be interested in using the Democracy Fund?
Candidate or candidates, most definitely.
All right, great. If anybody would like to close the meeting, that is just fine.
I'd ask for an adjournment. Anybody?
Second it.
All right. We're just going to adjourn because I don't think Aaron is on.
He's on.
No, I'm here.
Oh, good. So you want to vote to adjourn the meeting so you can drive safely? Well, you can drive safely. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Any abstentions? No. The motion carries. We're adjourned. Now they call me.
Perfect. Thank you guys very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.